0818-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. People are reacting to the Public Accounts Committee today with the witnesses, as they call them, Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty. Bridget Mulcahy is in Limerick, 0818 715 815. Bridget, you've been watching, your reaction so far, please.
Hi, Joe. I would just like to make a couple of points, please. Mm-hmm. I think we can all accept that the culture and lack of governance in RTE was a disgrace. And it makes me glad that I work in a highly regulated industry so that I'm not hung out to dry by my employer. I would first like to make a point about Renault. It seems that they're a major sponsor, and that's fantastic. We as a small country recognise that we need sponsors, we need loyalty. And I would ask why somebody, a personality within RTE that had a car for 5 years, free gratis from Renault, then decided to go and buy a Volkswagen car. Is there no loyalty or no return to the person who has supplied the car? Or is Renault name so bad now within this country that we're all supposed to ignore Renault, even though they probably kept RTE afloat for so long? That's number one.
Well, Bridget, you tell me, do you think the name of Renault has been sullied in this?
Absolutely not. I would applaud them.
Okay.
I would absolutely applaud them. What they've given, enabled the Late Late Show to produce in the last number of years has given me so much pleasure. So much pleasure. And I would hate to be without it. I'd like now to go on to the PAC committee. And a pack of hounds is all they are.
Well, you cannot order a pack of TDs.
Okay. They're a pack. Okay. Well, you know, you can extrapolate from that. They're asking their questions. They're taking forever to ask a question. And if I hear the word briefly then said by the chairman before Ryan Tuberty or Noel Kelly speaks, I will scream. Alan Kelly has just asked three questions and then in one, and then the chairman goes to Ryan Tuberty briefly. Do they want the information or don't they want the information? Then they ask Ryan Tuberty a question, and it's to do with invoicing. It's to do with the nuts and bolts of the agency that's employed, Noel Kelly's agency, to deal with this. And they won't let Noel Kelly give the detailed information, because to me, they just want to hang Ryan Tuberty out to dry. Now I'll get to the public in this country. Mm-hmm. Last month, Ryan Tuberty was a legend. He was a hero, an absolute hero. He took every child with a difference from under a stone in this country, and he brought them out and exposed them in a kind, gentle way in which they were comfortable. And I will forever commend him for doing that. What he has done in the Late Late Show for children is second to none in this country. Yet we, as the licence payers, 40 cents a day we pay for a licence. Those of us that do pay for a licence, I would add, think that we can now thrash him to bits. And I'm listening to this for the last 3 weeks. People taking his character before he even had a chance to speak. And I think it's absolutely disgusting. But it's typical of Ireland. You're up there today and you're down tomorrow. Why don't we just say that we've got somebody of immense talent, immense integrity, immense kindness? My question is, I heard a podcast before the PAC started today, and the RTE questioner was asking the public, would you like to see Ryan Tuberty coming back?
Yeah.
I don't know why Ryan Tuberty would want to come back and work for RTE. But then again, I can answer it, because he's an Irishman through and through. He loves Ireland. He loves history. He loves the people of Ireland. He loves the west of Ireland. He loves books. He loves everything about
this country. Do you not think, Bridget,
and we're lacerating him.
But there are questions to be answered about invoicing, especially around the event.
There are questions to be asked of RTE, and let Noel Kelly give the answers. They seem to have it all printed out.
Well, he's saying he's instructed by RTE. He's saying he's instructed by RTE to invoice a company in London for two payments. This was Arrakis, or whatever they're called, in London. It's not Arrakis, it's a back or something. A company, he was unaware of what they did. He thought he was actually invoicing Renault for the payment. Now, whether that is believed by the committee.
So why don't we accept what he has to say? He's been dealing with RTE for years. As he said, they're a huge organisation. He's a company of eight people. Why are they on the rack today? Why are they on the rack? Why is Ryan Tuberty trying to get his integrity, his character back by being publicly dealt with like this?
Okay, Ryan.
Who do we think we are in this country? We don't own him for 40 cents a day.
Okay, this is clip number 8. This is Ryan Tuberty addressing that point about his name being sullied.
My name has been desperately sullied. I think my reputation has been sullied. I'm deeply upset. I'm hurt. It's hard to leave the house, if you really want me to be honest about it. So, for what? I spent 3 weeks watching people telling stories. I'm leaving a gap. Forgive me, it's a comma, not a full stop. But I know, like, I'm not looking for sympathy now or violin. I'm simply saying to you, you asked me the question, and you bring up, like, the kids. My relationship with the children of Ireland is so important to me. I know that sounds grandiose, but actually it is. I want them to be happy and hopeful and proud to be Irish and read lots of books and just be wonderful young people. You know, that doesn't change.
And do you think the new Director General, Kevin Backhurst, was asked yesterday, should Ryan Tuberty return to the airwaves? And he seemed to think that the staff would have a say in it. You as a listener, Bridger, what do you think?
I think that Kevin Backhurst was very sensible in saying, let's listen to what he has to say.
Okay.
And I would hope now that he would have a personal
meeting. And
I would like now to see him having a personal discussion with Noel Kelly and with Ryan Tuberty and follow through with today's events and let him make up his own opinion. And as I say, I think we'll be very lucky if Ryan Tuberty stays with this country.
When you see
Imelda Munster going down the road of talking about his involvement with the SVP, I mean, where does it stop? Who do we think we are? Are all those TDs so above reproach that they can skin that man alive? This morning, before I left for work, I felt as if it was like going back to medieval times where the bonfire was in the square and the witch was going to be put on top.
Yeah, but remember that Ryan and Noel Kelly both voluntarily have gone to the committee. Okay, say there, Bridget.
Treat them with a bit of respect.
Okay, 51551 is a text. Penny Crowley is in Kenmare. Penny, what do you think? Watching it. What do you think?
Well, I suppose I have been watching it, and I wish I could say that I was a little bit more enlightened than when I started watching it, but I'm not. I do appreciate that the two people today, Kelly and Tuberty, came on voluntarily, but I find myself getting quite frustrated watching it because I just don't feel we're still getting to the kernel of everything. There seems to be quite a bit of waffle, quite a bit of obfuscation.
What questions are unanswered as far as you're concerned so far?
Well, there isn't clarity over this 75,000 still. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be this detachment from what's the right thing to do and what has been done.
Okay.
And without being moralistic, and I've no legal experience whatsoever, I don't think you can detach your life like that into compartments. You know, on the one hand, you know what you're earning. On the other hand, you don't seem to know what you're earning. As regards Imelda Munster, I think she was making a very valid point. I don't think there was any suggestion whatsoever that Mr. Tuberty didn't have huge empathy for the the less well-off in society, the underprivileged, and we know he's done wonderful work on that. It was nothing to do with that side of his personality. It was to do purely with the fact that on the one hand, he was talking about that, but on the other hand, he had a sum of money coming in from somewhere that hadn't been disclosed.
Well,
so I don't think the two things...
Okay,
explain the other.
This was a letter that both Noel and Ryan Tuberty described as a critical letter. It's from Breed O'Keefe, the former chief financial officer here in RTE. And she says quite clearly, we made good progress on what the commercial agreement would be. And we agreed to one, that is an appearance or a mock late, late. One in Dublin and two outside Dublin, which are RTE-led late, late show events. And we can provide you with a side, we can provide you with a side letter to underwrite this fee for the duration of the contract. Now, is that not clear that RTE are underwriting it?
It's very clear, but they don't. They have said that it has nothing to do with them. That's an RTE thing.
Yeah,
so
because
it has nothing to do with them?
Because
yet they're involved in it.
Because they were in receipt of it. And they say the letter from the chief, which does hold some heft in here, as we discovered last week, that the letter from the chief financial officer, which refers to we, not I, we agree to one dominant, and we can provide you with a side letter to underwrite this fee for the duration of the contract. Now, Ryan and Noel Kelly were characterising that as a killer blow, but you don't think it is, even though it's in writing.
Well, I just feel that why are there so many questions about it still? This is going on for weeks, this question. So obviously the answers aren't coming through, or as Alan Kelly said, they're just not credible.
Well, what's credible, what one person's credibility is another person's lies. You know what I mean?
And today is supposed to be about, to unwrapping the truth. Mm-hmm. But for me, Joe, personally,
let's go back to the committee now. See what they're talking about.
And can I ask you this? An RTE never signed it. There's no RTE signature on it. And let me just say this to you. What's also incredible is the second
this
last
is
line
Brian
in the
Stanley,
agreement
the,
says,
chairperson,
"Once signed by all parties, disagreement will constitute a legally binding agreement, a legally binding document, and it's acknowledged that there is a valid consideration for disagreement, once it's signed by all parties." Now, you were telling me you went along on a wing and a prayer with four major faults in this. No signatures, not signed, signed this year, no figures mentioned in it, not a 3-year deal. And you were happy as a professional agent to sign off on this. You're asking me to believe that?
The contract in total? Was brokered between us. The contract was at the RTE in Renault, and we were the third party to this contract. We agreed for 75,000 a year for a separate contract to provide those services, and that's what we did.
And Mr. Kelly, you don't sign into contracts. You know, and I know, that you don't sign contracts or you don't enter into agreements or contracts on the basis of a document like that. You know that. Am I not correct in saying that?
But RTE had brokered the contract.
I don't care who brokered it. You. You're telling me that you went along for 3 years on a wing and a prayer. That's what you're expecting us to believe here today.
No, I
don't believe that.
Okay, well,
I don't believe you.
Going along on a wing and a prayer. Obviously, the events were pushed out because of COVID.
I don't care what was pushed out. There was nothing to stop it from coming in an envelope and signing it. It could have been sent by courier to you, and you could have signed it, right, back at that time. But you didn't, and the figures weren't in it. And the 3-year dimension wasn't in it. That's the facts. That deal is not credible the way it's framed.
Well, the deal was brokered by RTE.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, that was a word used there, Penny, saying Mr. Stanley believes the deal is not credible. Mr. Kelly believes it was, but anyway...
But this is what's happening all the time, isn't it? I mean, this
ping-pong
going on.
We haven't even got to half-time. We haven't even got to 11 in the table tennis match because there's 12 people on this committee and they are due to finish at 2 o'clock. It's gone past 2 o'clock now. Then there's another committee of 12 people, two of whom have already been, already spoken. So I don't know whether they're going to be allowed their 15 minutes again. That's to begin at 3 o'clock. But that's democracy. That's democracy at work. Anya, I'll come back to people. Anya, 51551 text, joe@rg.ie. Anya, your point, please.
I feel basically that Ryan was compelled to come up front of the committee because he's been slated for the last 3 weeks.
And he clearly, himself and Noel Kelly, I know neither of them, came up very clearly, very well prepared, which lacked any of the questioning I heard last week being answered by the RTE board. It seemed total skullduggery because, although not looking at any individual, but let's say Anya wasn't answering because she was afraid of what she'd say might have implications on Jane or, you know, so there was all that sort of cloak and dagger stuff. And it begs, it just shows that they're using Ryan Turbity as a face, which has absolutely no place. He's a genuine guy. I've seen him at the local school being attacked by kids. He stands there, he talks to them, he just seems a very genuine person, gives his time willingly and freely. And yet you have the public, you know, slating him for, you know, because he was earned too much. And I think the first opening question lines, I only saw heard the first mm-hmm. few questions this morning from the committee, were really underpinned by the fact that they felt he was paid too much. And that's, I think, what's come through on this the whole time. We live in a free state. Noel Kelly badgered or begged or whatever, did his agreement. Mm. He is the figures guy. That's what people do. And in fairness to Ryan Turbity, he has gone on his predecessor before, Gay Byrne, who went down on record stating he was afraid to ask for a raise in RTE. So RTE has never been clear and cut, like most state organisations in this country. And I'd like all the ministers to put a ball there on taxed expenses up on the table and let us all have a look at them. Let us have a look at their catering bills and their this, that and the other. So they're great. Paddy is great to hang it on one person. And that's what we're known for. Let's hang, you know, put the dishwasher out or the water out with the dishes. It's just shocking. And Ryan Turbity had compelled, whether he wanted to or not, he was compelled.
Well, they said
he came
voluntarily, but the committee, in fairness, did make it clear that if he didn't come voluntarily, they would compel him. So
yeah, but he's been slated. Noel Kelly, and you know, he has been slated for the last 3 weeks. And to be honest with you, lock, stock and barrel, you can name it. I don't care what agreement was. We live in a neoliberal society where bottom line is king. And whoever's doing a deal for you, and I don't care, you go into any of the big institutes, any of the big accounting institutes in this town, and at the end of the day, it's all about bottom line, bottom line, bottom line. We lived in a society where my grandchildren will be paying for the debt that developers caused in this country. And literally, we are allowing these people back up and run. Like, come on, call it as it is. You know, I really, it just is very irritating. And plus the fact you can understand with the way RTE has been now exposed for their this, that, shivvy, shabby, we now know why we've a horrendous health system. We're totally underhoused. We need housing. And the government are sitting on this. But they'll sit on committees and throw onto basically what RTE is, a public-private partnership. And your researcher asked me about how I feel about my licence fee and paying my licence fee. And I said, well, to be honest with you, we need a public broadcaster. I absolutely see what I get for my money. I don't see what I get for my taxes in this country. I see people, no housing, no health, children waiting for operations. So that's my whole take on it. It just infuriates me, sorry.
And then the question, should Ryan Turbity be back on air in RTE?
I don't think they deserve him personally. And I don't really watch the Late Late Show, and I don't, you know, but I just think how he has been treated. And I think there was something said in one of the papers as well, something about, he's saying this now, and if this will, you know, knock him out of RTE. Sorry, this is like calling it as it is. It was incompetence at every level in RTE, at the board. And I don't care who ran it. And there was people running their own shindigs in there by the sounds of things, which is no different to any other state organisation if you look at it. I guarantee, put them all out on the table. Let us all have a look at them and see where the money's been spent.
OK, this is, stay there on you. I'm told this is, this clip is relevant. It's clip number 3. It's Noel Kelly talking about how he believes Dee Forbes, the former DG, has been blamed.
Effectively, they have blamed the former Director General, Dee Forbes, for doing a solo run and giving a verbal commitment to underwrite the contract on a Zoom call in May. RTE executives had said that there was a strong pushback against the idea of underwriting the agreement. That is incorrect. I refer you to page 10 of the pack. So at the time, Ms. Breed O'Keefe was Chief Financial Officer of RTE. On this page, you will see an email which she sent to my office dated the 20th of February, 2020. It is copied to another member of the Executive Board, the then Director General and RTE's solicitor. In this email, Ms. Breed O'Keefe responds in red to various points which had been discussed. She states at the top of the email that this is our final position. because negotiations go back and forth, back and forth. This is our final position in respect of the new contract. On the last paragraph on this page, Ms O'Keefe, on behalf of RTE, states explicitly, we can provide you with a side letter to underwrite this fee for the duration of the contract. Okay. There was no secret.
Back to Páraig O'Sullivan is in Ballybunion and Kerry. Páraig, your point, please.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for contacting us. Your point. Yeah, please. Thanks.
Listen, Joe, I'm nearly afraid to give a comment after listening to everything there. You know, there's so many moving parts in this, it gets more confusing by the hour, literally.
Okay.
You know, I followed this closely, and I know poor old Tubridy is, everybody seems to think he's guilty, but nobody seems to know what he's guilty of. Maybe being overpaid. But, you know, there's so many moving parts in this. Who elects the different committees, PAC or whatever? Who puts those in position?
Well, they're TDs, and they're elected TDs in their democracy, and then each party is allocated places on the different committees in line with the number of TDs they have. So if there's, you know what I mean, if there's more Sinn Féin TDs than Labour, therefore Sinn Féin and four, Labour have one on each committee, whatever, that's the way it's divvied up.
But the way you must, you know, I think they're the most incompetent group of people I've ever heard of in my life. The questions they're asking are totally, it's all going back over the same thing again. There seems to be nothing new coming out. It seems twisting everything about. I was glad that Tubridy went on this morning and was able to put his side of the case. But I think honestly, you need the fraud squad in there to come up with any answer to this.
When you say the fraud squad, in where? In here? In RTE?
To investigate the whole thing about the salaries, the wages, the money trail. Money always leaves a trail after it. So to try and find who paid who, was it Renault? Was it RTE? Who's paying who? Nobody seems to know. Nobody wants to give an honest answer. And the one thing I learned in life, if you tell the truth, you can't be cut out. It's the same story all the time. You don't have to think or say, I'd send you on a text or send you on something else.
And if you tell lies, you have to remember the lies you told.
You have to have a fantastic memory, anybody. And I must say, I've met Tubridy myself personally in Ballybunion. I've listened to you over the years, Joe. I know you have to be very, very competent to do the jobs you do. And you have to be very caring. You don't do it for the money. And I know that for a fact. You don't do it for the money. You have a type of vocation for doing that type of work. I know the money helps.
Well paid.
Not the end. No, it's not the end all and be all. Joe, you couldn't do that job unless you liked doing it.
No, I love doing it, yeah. Stay there, part of clip number 9. This is Verona Murphy, the Independent ED, asking Ryan Tubridy about the point you've just been making about RTE.
What I'd just like to ask you, is it your view, and maybe this is for Mr. Kelly also, but is it your view that those untruths were intended to deceive not just the public, but the Public Accounts Committee into thinking that you two gentlemen were responsible for everything that has happened here?
I think we, being frank with you, we watched some of the proceedings quite aghast.
But is it your view that those untruths were intended to deceive?
I would hope that in a more positive moment that wasn't the case, that this is a misunderstanding rather than an intent to deceive.
Joe at rt.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie, the first committee, the PAC committee, has taken a break. They're finished. And they're finished with Ryan and Noel Kelly for the time being, I presume. And then the other committee is getting ready to start. That's the Joint Directors Committee on the Media, etc. And I presume Ryan Tubridy, I don't know what time they're due to start. Apparently it's 3, but it might come back earlier, depending on how quickly Noel Kelly and Ryan Tubridy can get a sandwich, if they can stomach it. Amanda Gallagher, Amanda, your point, please.
Hi, Joe, how are you? Well, Ryan's on a break now. It's good to hear. So he might tune into Lifeline. I don't know. It's time. Ryan, again, all he has to do is pay back the money. There's not a sight nor light of him offering to pay back the money, Joe. The
he says, because he says that 345,000 is a wrong figure. I'll quote exactly what he said at the committee this morning. The third untruth is that I was covertly or secretly overpaid by RTE. This is not true. I was not overpaid by RTE at any point. I fully accept that I am very well paid, but I was paid fully in accordance with my contract, which my agent negotiated openly, honestly and in good faith. There are no overpayments. There are RTE under-declarations, which we challenged them on back in 2020, and there are RTE over-declarations of what they actually paid me in 20 and 21. This has caused justifiable anger, that's the figure you're talking about, among my colleagues. I understand their anger. The upshot of RTE's inaccurate declarations is an impression that I have been less than honest. This is not the case. Says Ryan Tuberty. Maybe we listen to clip number two. This might make the point better or more clearer than I am, Amanda, please.
This claim that I did not take a pay cut from RTE in 2020, this is not true. I took a 20% pay cut from RTE in my 2020 to 2025 contract. Simple as that. I took a 20% pay cut from RTE. I'm obliged to do and present 205 radio shows and 38, as it was then, live two-hour late-late shows under this contract. I am what's called an independent contractor. I get no pension or entitlements from RTE. That's the nature of it. Under the terms of my contract, I'm allowed to do additional work outside of RTE. That's also the nature of it. And I stress that there is nothing morally, ethically or legally wrong with me or any independent contractor doing additional work for another client outside of RTE. But to be clear, I took a pay cut from RTE of 20% in 2020 for each of the 5 years of my contract at a cost of €525,000 to me over the length of that contract. It's an awful... I'll move on to my second untruth. The suggestion that my decision to retire from the Late Late Show was prompted by this whole debacle.
And then he went on, he said, to the last dog barks, I will tell people from with honesty and truth that I decided to leave the Late Late Show long before this debacle arose. Until the last dog barks, he will plead that.
There's a lot of analogies with hounds and dogs today, Joe, as well, but that's very strange. But Ryan, if he is listening, yes, you think, are an independent contractor.
I'll help you. Your opening remark is you thought Ryan would be more humble.
Humble? He's not humble, Joe. His agent, Noel, is not being humble. They are saying they only followed instructions from RTE. Mm. My point, Joe, is Ryan, yes, entitled to do anything he wants. With his time, he's an independent contractor, well entitled to do anything he wants. But now he knows it was underwritten by the taxpayer. We have lost out. And, as I said before, it's a tiny, tiny drop in the ocean compared to the billions and millions we're usually talking about in this country. The taxpayer, I know it, Joe, from talking to so many people.
Okay.
The taxpayer, we are done. Done. This is the final straw. With cronyism, secret deals, the wanton disregard for taxpayers' money at all times, we are done. All Ryan Tuberty has to do, he said himself, he hardly comes out of his home.
Mm.
His reputation is on a fine line right now. All he has to do is pay back. For somebody to get €500,000 a year in wages, and they're saying they cannot pay back the €345,000 as a gesture of goodwill. It may have been legally his, and it may.
But he doesn't. If you're talking about the Renault figures, well, then you're talking. Renault paid one at 75, and RTE. Paid the other two because they had agreed to underwrite it. That's 150k. Do you think he should pay back the 150k?
100%. Right now, he should come back into the committee and write a check. Joe, we would all be a little. We are all under. This thing has taken up our whole life. It's unbelievable, Joe. It's really unbelievable. We're all focused on it. And Mr. Backhurst, I wish him well in his new position. as I understand, he's been there before. And when I heard his salary, I know this is taking the focus of Ryan right now, but just if Mr. Backhurst is listening, Kevin, $250,000 a year, and then you said plus a car allowance of about $25,000. That is what we are talking about. That's the obscenity. Someone on $250,000 a year does not need a car allowance. But why don't you split your $25,000 between the 25 lowest paid of RTE there, the canteen workers and the cleaners, and give them $1,000 a year towards their car or their travel expenses?
Mr. Backhurst also made a point demanded that he has left a job in the UK that was paying him more.
I know okay. Ofcom. Okay. I read that, but just in case, Kevin, is this, these kind of gestures would mean the world to us, to the taxpayer, Joe. Okay. To people who have nothing. And Ryan said before in 2019 he was haunted by children in poverty and by children in homeless hubs and hotels. They are still there, Ryan. They are still there.
Yeah, but it's not there Ryan. Hang on. It's not Ryan Tuberty's fault.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault.
And hang on, Amanda, even if you immiserated Ryan Tuberty, you wouldn't solve the housing crisis.
Not a tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
Would be nothing, Joe. But to somebody in a homeless hub right now, 150,000, what would that do? That's my point, Joe. To somebody who has nothing. Ryan doesn't seem to understand, because I know you all live in different worlds, Joe, to the ordinary person. You do. And there's no harm in saying that. You all live in different worlds.
Well, I don't.
But to the ordinary person.
Yeah, well, I don't.
I know.
Yeah, anyway. If I can finish the point, is I don't think you can assume, Amanda, or anyone else can assume what world I live in or what burdens are on my shoulders at any particular time. I do admit that I'm well paid and I'm privileged to have this job. Okay. Privileged to have this job.
Okay, Joe.
And I love it.
On Ryan's shoulders right now, you can see that there's immeasurable stress on him. I can see that. And I'm just advising him, as an ordinary person, as a member of the public, that he'll have to deal with in his future. That would be, if he had gone in this morning and done that, he had a lovely chance this morning to...
Okay, stay there, Amanda. Yeah. Should be, there's other listeners. I should be allowing another listener to talk to you if they wish. Anna O'Callaghan, Anna, what do you think about what Amanda is saying, that Ryan should have shown more, should be showing more humility, and that Ryan should give back whatever amount... between 3, 4, 5, which he now denies, he's now adamant he wasn't overpaid, or even the 150 that was underwritten by RTE, even though people thought it was coming from Renault. Anna, your point or your response to Amanda? You're on a speakerphone in a car or something. I have to get a better line. Tommy, I'll come back to you in a sec, Anna. Tommy.
How are you doing, Joe?
I don't know whether you managed to hear Amanda, but Amanda is very upset. Ryan Tuberty, very upset. She says it's lack of humility. Give back the money. They're living, including myself, are living in different worlds. Your point, Tommy, please.
Well, I think there's a couple of points. I think everybody on the committee has a right to answer questions in a structured way to get the right answers. But I think the chairman near the end, I think he was very derogatory to Noel Kelly, asking him what his background was. Noel Kelly said he was the marketing from Cadbury's. Then he asked him, what was he selling for Cadbury's? And he tried to equate that he was a chocolate salesman. And how could he get up the line? I just think it was a bit disrespectful of somebody who's in marketing and sales, and he's selling talent or he's selling people. The product they're selling doesn't really matter. And I just think it was a bit disrespectful the way he spoke to him. And I didn't think it was called for. And I think at the start as well, Imelda Munster, co-faces. The Ryan Tuberty statement the previous lady said for St. Vincent de Paul. I mean, I think you mentioned as well, who's to know what anybody's, givings are to charity or work they do for charity or free of charge. It is a lot of money he's paid and that he negotiated that. But I think to suggest that he doesn't have morals and things he says may not be backed up, I think that's unfair.
I missed that Cadbury's whole note reference. Let's hear it.
And you come from a background in sales, and selling chocolate and not being derisive,
sure.
But that's just, and fair play to you. You worked your way up, right?
Yeah, anyway. Okay. Anna O'Callaghan's back. Anna.
You're
listening to Amanda. Go ahead. What's Amanda said, Ryan is out of order, lives in a different world, pay money back, and be more humble.
No, I don't think he should. Has anybody ever stopped to think that the amount of tax alone he would have paid on the money he received? He's not wealthy. Do you know what I mean? I know myself, it's just absolutely outrageous, the amount of universal social charge, PRSI, tax. Has anybody ever stopped to think what his actual take-home was?
Well, he's paying, he's paying pro rata, but he's still, the money is still in the top 1% in the
and
country.
He's worth every penny, every penny. He has an independent contract, and I mean, it's only a short space of time that, I mean, they could walk in tomorrow, his contract could be gone. You make it while you can. You know, a star like him.
I would say it's gone now, his contract. I would say it's gone.
Hello?
Hello, Amanda.
There would be plenty queuing up to happen. We're just a nation of begrudgers.
Oh, my God. Well, say that to a single mum who's been put in jail to pay a tax because she didn't pay a TV licence. Is she a begrudger?
Hang on, Amanda. Which case are you referring to?
Well, a case I read. I don't know the lady's name.
Did you read it in the last 2 weeks?
No, because I read the judge said a load of freeloaders in RT.
Yeah, that was a judge. Anthony helped me. He's allowed to say what he wanted to say. I didn't see the judges jumping, by the way, forward 5 years ago when they were asked to take a pay cut like everyone else. But anyway, just for veracity, Amanda, that story about that lone parent being sent to prison, being taken to prison for not paying license fee, is a lot more complicated. She was not taken to prison or not arrested by the Gardaí for not paying the license fee. As she pointed out, when she won her case, not against RTE, not against An Post, but against the Garda Commissioner, she was mistakenly arrested. For not appearing in court. She was misidentified. Her name happened to coincide with another person's name. She was not arrested for not paying her license fee.
Well, we'll pass that case, Joe.
It seems to be one of your strong pillars there.
No, it's not, Joe, it's not. I'm just making points, okay, to Anna there, who said we're a nation of begrudgers. Sorry, okay, Joe. Well, then the judge who made the comment about do-gooders in RT, the freeloaders in RT, the judge who made, and I'm not talking about the normal staff there, Joe. We're talking about people who made these secret payments and the executives and everything. But anyway, I've lost my point there. Oh, yeah, he had 159 people in front of him who were brought in front of him. So just deal with them cases then. They were brought, had to take a day off work to come and answer to the judge about a TV licence and all this circus going on at the minute. This is what I'm talking about. It never ends. And Ryan had a chance there. Oh, only a little chance to pay something back. He doesn't have to pay the whole lot. Whatever is the figure that the taxpayer has underwritten.
Anna, what do you think? Ryan payback money? Pick a figure.
No.
Why not?
He's earned it. He has earned it.
I would do a show for free.
You would what, Amanda?
Do for free.
I'll do Ryan's show for free.
Okay.
Anyway, Lila, stay
there, Amanda. You can stay as long as you want. I don't want people to accuse me. Lila.
Hi, Joe.
You're listening to Amanda. Amanda said she would do Ryan's job for free.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm not talking about Ryan's job. Actually, what prompted me was Ryan's victim statement. I just was so moved by it, really. I mean, he is a human being, and the fact that he says he actually can't go out the door. And it's more, I think, as well, the way society has put up our heroes, Ryan being one of them. And it's more about ourselves. We've put him up. I don't think he ever did. And I just want to say the PAC, name and nature, does the forum have to be televised?
Well, it's a public accounts committee. They have a job to do.
I just wonder, can we find another way that a human being doesn't have to be pulled apart? I mean, I work as a nurse myself, and so the money seems quite exorbitant, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, why didn't we stop when the 415,000 salary of the top earners, roughly give or take, why didn't we stop then and ask the questions? Who gives people their worth? Who says a nurse is 45,000 when a radio broadcaster is 415? Society's worth. And we've done that all along in. So, but my main thing is to just be kind to Ryan in our kind of summation of him, really. I've no feeling about Noel Kelly. I don't know the man. I'm not saying I know Ryan Tuberty. I don't either. But
he's in. He's been in your living room, so to speak. It's a phrase.
That's exactly.
Well, I presume not everyone's living room. Some people don't watch daddy, as we know.
No, and Lila, just but I just don't like any human being being pulled apart.
And what,
I've been part. Sorry.
The question: should Ryan be back on air?
Yes, I've absolutely. I can see why not. I mean, I hope that he will be able to exonerate himself in some way, and people will feel the need to
from
trust
what
him again.
I know it's half time in Leinster House, but from what you've seen so far, Lila, how do you think he's done?
I think he's explaining it. I don't see there's any need for him to be humble. Humility is something that is kind of people try and put on people from a subjective point of view. Why does he need to be humble? I mean, actually, I like the way he's answered some of the questions. I think he's saying it as it is, you know?
Okay,
Lila, but do you not think that now, that if it was you, Lila, or me, now that we know it came from the taxpayer's purse, do you not think, okay, sorry, I didn't know that, I'm going to pay it back? And then everyone would stop saying anything. And yes, I don't like to hear that someone doesn't want to come out of his home. That's terrible. But a way to get out of that is to pay something back. It's unbelievable, actually. It's better to believe what's going on.
Okay.
Maybe that is a solution. I don't know.
Thank you, Lila. Strike one. We have one for the solution. Great.
And Amanda, would you forgive Ryan if he gave 150 back, which is the two Renault payments that were paid for out of the RTE account?
We would forgive Ryan, but we would not forgive RTE, the executives.
Okay.
You couldn't forgive that with everything that's going on. You just couldn't. During COVID, during everything, what they did, and people hungry, people homeless, people poor.
Okay,
and,
this is.
And also to go and say that they were financially in trouble as well at the same time, but it's just beggar's belief, Joe.
Okay, this is clip number 13, Catherine Murphy, Social Democrat, asking the question we've been asking here. Would he go back to RTE?
Given all of, you know, all you've listened to over the last few weeks, Mr. Tuberty, and you say you want to go back and work on the radio, it seems to me that looking at it from your perspective, that appears to come across strange, given all of the issues that you've documented in your booklet and the opening statement.
What's strange? Excuse me, sorry.
Wanting to go back to an organisation that you obviously feel has badly damaged you.
I've been badly damaged by the last 3 weeks, to be honest with you, but not necessarily by RTE as an institution. I think there are people that I'm dying to get back to work with. Like most decent Irish people, they're making an honest living and they're working hard to get together the shows, and I want to be back with them. I had my beef, with some people there, as is obvious in the documents, but...
51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, Amanda is correctly going on about these payments. But this is clip number 11. It's Alan Dillon of Fine Gael. He's also on the next committee. He's obviously having a cup of Bovril as we speak. He presses Ryan Tuberty on whether his agent worked with RTE to conceal his payments from the public.
In your opinion, do you think agent colluded with RTE to conceal these payments?
No. I think my agent did what he was instructed to do by RTE.
Mr. Tuberty, your earnings went up by €75,000 in 2020, credited from Renault, on a side deal, and then you received another €150,000 in 2022, underwritten at the request by RTE.
Yes.
So am I missing something here? At a time between April 2020 and July 2020, when we were in the middle of a pandemic, where you had taken a 20% pay cut on your contract, which was signed the 1st of April, and that these side deals were undertaken at a time where the country was going through huge difficulty.
Yes.
And you feel that these payments should not have been put into the public domain.
I was under the understanding that the payments had come from Renault, a very successful commercial company. So I didn't feel that it was an RTE situation.
Separate contract.
Even though
even though
RTE, as we've heard from your agent, was responsible for the payment of these invoices.
We were paid. We weren't paid by RTE. We were paid by Astis, and we assumed that that was from Renault.
Clip number 14, Fianna Fáil's James O'Connor asked Noel Kelly when he first alerted Ryan Tuberty about the audit of how he was paid.
And when did you first alert Mr. Tuberty that the report was being carried out and that perhaps you may have had concerns?
Well, was it the
22nd of June?
The 22nd of June when the statement came out from RTE, the statement, and then they released the report. We didn't even have the report.
Yeah.
And so at that stage, that's what we were saying. So that happened on the Thursday, and then it was 4 days later before they put in the correction saying that there was no wrongdoing on behalf of Ryan Tuberty ourselves. And then at that stage, Ryan was off air, and so the whole thing. So had they, what did you say, not be so hasty?
If they hadn't rushed everything out, 99% of this whole thing wouldn't be an issue because we would have given them everything they wanted if they simply asked questions.
Tip number 12 will dovetail into the next caller. Alan Kelly, speaking to Noel Kelly, no relation. This is what Alan Kelly had to say.
Why would NK Management, why would that be swapped out and CMS put in for payment purposes, communication purposes from a corporate management point of view?
As I say, I own the two companies. And sometimes we'd invoice out of one, sometimes out of another, and they'd cross invoice. So there's no.
But like, turn your eyes to heaven saying they cross over. From a corporate governance point of view? Accountancy point of view?
Sure, again, we were asked to invoice. We were asked how to invoice, when to invoice.
Yeah, but I'm going to be straight. I don't buy any of that. I don't think anybody listening, watching, here in this room buys that. As I've said earlier on, it's not. I think Deputy Dillon and Deputy O'Cartney went through this. This is not appropriate in how things should be done.
OK, Maureen, I'm not buying that, says Alan Kelly. Your point, please. Maureen.
Oh, hi, yeah. I only came in when Amanda was on because I was watching the TV. But absolutely, categorically, I personally feel no way should Ryan have to pay any money back. He was contracted to get that salary, and he did the work. I think he's totally honest, empathetic, funny. He saw us all through COVID. And yeah, I know they're huge salaries, but he let somebody else go try for his job and see if they can do it. He can do the job. He's the best at his job. He's on a huge salary. He admits that. He pays taxes on it. And, you know, they've said he did nothing wrong, and yet they take him off the air. I think he's held himself very well today. I think, and people saying he shouldn't go back on the air. Why should he leave? And why is he wanting to go back? They find that strange. But this is his life. This is his home. He's a very, very Irish man, very proud to be Irish. And I think he's a great ambassador for Ireland. And I just think he is being haunted. I feel so sorry for him. They forget. It's not just charity work that he does. He doesn't go singing about that. But the way he is with kids around the country and everything, I just can't find fault.
Okay, well, Maureen, say listen to Teresa, who disagrees with you. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay.
Teresa.
Hello. Teresa from Sligo. Well, I listened intensely to the whole debate that was going on. And we have great time for Ryan and sympathy for him, but I thought he was asked the question from the committee, do you think that Alan Kelly should have underwritten your invoices and basically not put your name on it? And I thought, come on, Tuberty, you now, I'm waiting for it. You can be truthful now and say he was wrong. He should have put my name on it. But he says, I won't answer that question. I'll put you over to Alan Kelly.
Okay.
Hugely disappointed.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to illustrate your point, Theresa, looking at the clips here. We'll try clip number 7. This is John Brady, Sinn Féin, asking Noel Kelly who in RTE mislabeled the invoices and who authorised, who asked them to do them in this particular way.
In relation to the invoicing then, that we know there was an attempt and there's a trail there that no names were to appear on the invoices. Whose suggestion was it to label them as consultancy fees?
RTE.
RTE, yeah. Who in RTE informed you to put them down as consultancy fees?
Geraldine O'Leary.
Geraldine O'Leary. Okay, in the Grant Thornton review, it states very clearly that there was no consultancy fees provided, either by the talent or the talent's agents, and it did not reflect the substance of the transactions.
Okay, the Karen Luby, Karen's in Wicklow. Karen, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I was listening there to the Avoctus TV, and I heard Ryan saying, I hope none of you will ever be cancelled. And then he said there's been a bypass of humanity here. Mm-hmm. So Ryan obviously feels that he's been hounded. I know what that feels like, and plenty of us know what it feels like when Ryan Tuberty said the unvaxxed should be uninvited from weddings. There was no humanity shown for them. Orchie were hugely responsible for the unvaxxed being ostracised from society, pushing this. And I mean, you yourself even said the unvaxxed should hide under their beds. There was no humanity then.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, fine. I didn't know
you. There was no humanity shown, so...
Oh, okay, Karen, I hear what he's saying. I know what it feels like.
RTE were responsible for tons of people being ostracised from society. There was no humanity shown towards them. We were treated like lepers. So where I can understand what Ryan's saying, because I've been there, there was thousands of us. And we were, literally, we lost family and friends over this. And this was all pushed by RTE. Nobody gave us a voice to say... Nobody gave us a voice.
Well,
I mean, Orchie was so biased. Ryan himself, when he said that, I was like, this is just unreal. That we
I presume you don't believe the vaccination was necessary.
Well, maybe for some people, maybe elderly people. Certainly not. No, God,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But this is what it was, Claire Byrne, it was you, it was Ryan Tuberty. And so I understand
Hang on, Karen. It was also the chief medical officer in Ireland. It was also the chief medical... let me finish. It was also the chief medical officer in the UK. It was also the chief medical officer in Australia, France, Spain, the United States, all of New Zealand, Australia. They all became household names. Do you think it was... I'm not going back into it because we argued it enough. From January 2020, Liveline was talking about... We had a call from Wuhan before anyone ever heard of COVID. But anyway, but all of those people were arguing for the vaccination and all of those governments.
And were they right? They weren't.
Well, you
it
don't believe they were. Okay, so answer your question.
No,
okay.
I'm sorry, Karen.
Give
a voice to people who don't agree with what RTE says. This is what I'm saying. This is what needs to change in RTE.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Karen, for coming on RTE. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The sting of a lot of questioning is about these invoices. Why were these invoices, which were raised, as they say, by Noel Kelly's company, CMS, at the request, he says, of RTE, and sent to this company in London? Noel Kelly subsequently said he thought the company, which he'd never heard of before, was representing Renault. This is clip number 5, Imelda Munster, who'll be back in action in about 10 minutes' time. She's asking Noel Kelly about these anonymous invoices.
You're a businessman, you're a negotiator, you look after your clients. Is that your job? That's your job. There's no issue with that whatsoever. But you'd imagine when you were instructed not to put names on the invoices, and we're not talking about 299 or 350 €3.50. We're talking about invoices for 75,000. And you knowing that you had asked them to underwrite the agreement. So you had asked them that they underwrite. They confirmed that they were underwriting the agreement. They were putting it through the barter account. You were told not to put a name on it. You knew exactly what it was for. And you didn't flag that up. You went along with it. And yet you say there was nothing secret about the deal.
There was nothing secret. We simply acted under instructions from RTE.
Yeah, yeah. But you knew they were underwriting the deal and you knew that was the 75,000 payment that was due to Mr. Tuberty.
We simply,
but you didn't put
we,
any...
we simply yeah. acted under instructions from yeah. RTE.
That's a headline tomorrow anyway. We acted under instructions. Damien.
Joe,
Damien's in Waterford. Yeah, sorry, Damien. Go ahead.
I think that there's a number of points coming out of it today. I think, firstly, that both Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty are showing great restraint when they're being accused of telling untruths, more so Noel Kelly. But one of the points that I had made was that this uproar about the 75,000 being defrauded from the public purse, people seem to forget that a huge amount of RTE's actual income is commercially generated. You know, the 75,000, I think the figure given this morning that Ryan Tuberty has taken in something like 100 million over his period presenting the shows in commercial revenue through advertising. So the fact that people are actually forgetting that there's a commercial side to this. It's not as if this has been taken out of the public purse and that the taxpayers are being... And the word was used, defrauded. And it was put to Noel Kelly this morning as well. Did he agree that there was a fraud had taken place? The legal advice that was given to RTE was that there has been no fraud. And it's something... Everything seems to be getting conflated into one issue where there are so many separate issues here that it's unbelievable.
Okay, stay with us, Damien. I want to bring Sharon Casey in. Sharon, your contribution, please.
Hi, I'm just really incensed after listening to today's debate on the Oireachtas, and I just want to state that not in my name will my taxpayers' money be used for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nurse for 35 years. I come out with net £3,000 a month. I'm not afraid, and I know exactly how much I earn, and I'm not afraid to say it, because I know where every penny goes.
Yeah.
My son is after a four-year honours degree in college.
Brilliant.
That cost me a lot of money to put through.
Yeah.
And he's on £1,200 a month. He has had to return from Dublin because he cannot afford to live. And he is coming home after being an SNA, minding the said people that Mr. Tuberty's eyes get wet looking at.
Mm.
And not in my name will my taxpayers' money be used to spend on travel from Dublin to Drogheda for the month's wages practically that my son earns. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm just incensed.
Okay.
It's so wrong. There's no moral conscience. And how any of those people could not know how much they earn when I know that I'm being ostracised in society because I can't even go out in society. I take holidays every 6 months to rest my body. But during those 6 months, or maybe 4 months, I do not socialise. I go from work to bed.
Because you can't afford to. That's your...
I cannot afford to. And not only that, I'm exhausted when I come home from work. I'm exhausted and I can't afford it. So yes, I'm sensible enough. I do recoup my body and go to the sun every 4 to 5 months.
Right.
And rest myself on very cheap camping holidays or on holidays where people would own an apartment associates of mine.
Okay.
And that is very many people on my wages. That is the way their life goes. They know where every penny comes from and they know their exact wages.
Okay,
Sharon. Okay, Joe, that's all I want to say.
I take your point.
And not in my name will any of those researchers. I'm speaking for the researchers in RTE that have no contracts and are possibly on very small wages as well. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, Sharon, good to meet you. Joe with RT.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Clip number 16. This is seemed to upset a lot of people about the mention of Noel Kelly being a chocolate salesman. This is Brian Stanley.
So you come from a sales background?
Yes, the American background.
What kind of goods would you have sold?
Sorry?
What kind of goods would you have sold? What kind of marketing would you have been involved in? Just briefly.
So I have this company,
Say going back before you got involved with RTE.
So we're NKCMS for 26 years. Before I worked for Cadbury's.
What were you selling for Cadbury's?
Cadbury's?
Yeah,
chocolate.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought the Cadbury's name was synonymous with chocolate going back to 1848 in Bourneville when it was set up. Claire Ronan. Claire, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And by the way, the best chocolate factory in the world is in Coolock in Dublin. The best chocolate owned by Cadbury. The best chocolate crumb manufacturer in the world is Cadbury's in Ireland, in Rathmore. And get caught on this. In Rathmore County, Kerry / Limerick / Cork border. Anyway, that's completely beside the point. Claire, your point, please.
Well, it actually isn't beside the point because wouldn't you thought of that one of our elected representatives would have known the answer to that question? I just thought bringing Noel Kelly and bringing up his background in a slightly condescending way and asking him then the most obvious and stupid question I've ever heard of what were you selling in Cadbury's? What did he think he was selling?
So you think the chocolate question takes the biscuit?
Takes the biscuit, absolutely. But I'll tell you what I really think. The politicians all day have used this opportunity to promote themselves by asking these long and ridiculously irrelevant, in some cases, questions. The last clip you played was Imelda Munster asking about the invoices. Mm-hmm. And she went on and on and on about raising an invoice for $2.99 or $3.99 or like, I mean, it was a simple question with a simple answer. So all morning I've been sitting, listening to them, asking questions that are too long, all about what they think. One man even got emotional about the fact that Ryan Tuberty was on his radio every morning in his kitchen. That has nothing to do with all of this. And the other thing, while I'm on, too, is that Ryan Tuberty is a human being. He is a human being. And I would suspect, I'm just saying, I don't know the man at all. He's not a friend of mine. That money isn't his God. He just doesn't seem to me to be that type of person. But he certainly needed to be treated with a bit of respect. And in my opinion, this morning, it was like they were bold children in front of a whole load of headmistresses and headmasters. That's what it looked like to me today. And I think it was wrong. And it was very difficult for two human beings, particularly Ryan. And 3 weeks have gone by where they haven't spoken. And this was their first chance to put their side of the story over. I'm actually raging over the whole thing. And I think maybe things did go wrong. Maybe he did do something wrong. Maybe he shouldn't have answered. Maybe he should have asked more questions. Mm-hmm. He put his own hands up. I'm not particularly on his side. It is so awful to watch somebody in pain, which he obviously was, and uncomfortable, and being grilled like that. I'm sorry, I just don't think it's right.
Okay, Claire, this chocolate question is driving people, pardon the pun, fruit and nuts. Helen O'Reilly.
How are you doing, Joe?
I tell you
why it's driving me fruits and nuts.
Why?
He knew exactly what he was doing when he asked him that question. He knew, I gather he knew he worked selling chocolate.
Yeah, I think it's on his blog, yeah.
Okay, so then what he did was, he asked him where was his power base from being a chocolate selling person
to being the manager of this company, and how did he bring the power to the table to all these great executives, et cetera, et cetera. I thought these are people who are representing us, representing the ordinary people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were elected democratically,
Yeah, so, but they represent us. And he's implying that basically being a chocolate salesman, man, it means you're not good enough to go into a meeting and, you know, do good. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought he's belittling the average guy, I thought, in doing so. This is what people do. You sell chocolate, you know, you're not good enough to go into a meeting and represent
anyone who knows the chocolate industry, and I love marketing, it's a pretty hard job in Ireland. Now, it's not hard to sell CDM, Cadbury's Dairy Milk, because it's the best chocolate in the world. But you look, go into any garage or shop, you look at a competition jumping out at you between Fulfil and Aero. And it's, anyway, I'm going flaky here, Helen. You really have. Would you go? let me bring
That's so funny.
And it's worth remembering.
Helen,
it's also worth remembering. Nobody died here. I'm looking in all of this, and no matter who made mistakes, did wrong, whatever happened, this isn't diluted. Nobody died, but the first five headlines I read this morning in the newspapers were about Ukraine and the people being killed in Ukraine. That's the perspective. James, your point, please.
James. Yeah, Joe. Yes, Joe. I just wanted to say that, you know, people, you know, this is a capitalist society that we live in, like it or not, and it is up to the government to redistribute whatever monies come in taxes, and hopefully that can be done equally and fairly. But I have to say, for example, I have a family member who made several millions over a number of years, and both my parents, I have to say, Joe, who both grew up in inner city Dublin, you know, I have to say they were just delighted for her. You know, they weren't saying to her, oh God, you know, perhaps you shouldn't have taken that much.
Okay.
You know, there was only one reason why she could earn what she earned, and that was because she was making multiples of that for the company she was working for.
Yeah.
And I have to say, in Ryan's position, and perhaps in your position, you know, there are unique jobs out there where a person, you know, in a situation has a lot of influence over monies coming into a business. And as a presenter, there is a significant influence over advertising monies that come into RTE. And as a result of that, there is a link between what an individual can earn versus another person. I mean, I haven't a care in the world whether, you know, my son decides to be a gardener or a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
But if he made millions as a rocket scientist, I would be only too happy for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he made a much smaller amount as a gardener, that's 100% fine too. But I think, you know, listening to the committee this morning and listening to a lot of...
I let you all hang on that missing word there. Fill in the gap. James, I don't know what happened to your line, but thanks. Margaret Ryan is in Tipperary. Margaret, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Yeah.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I rang you actually the day after this story broke a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I was only one of the few people who rang to, you know, just in his defence. But I was listening to this all morning now, and I'm just so absolutely proud of him, the way they conducted themselves, you know, the way they spoke, you know, his passion. And, like, I mean, all I could see coming in again there today was, you know, his need for people. I mean, he hasn't had an opportunity to speak up today, but, you know, like, again, I believed everything he said, and, you know, I don't think the committee treated them with great respect, particularly now Noel Kelly. you know, he kind of insinuated that the job was wheeling and dealing and stuff, you know.
Sorry, but people are getting mixed up between Noel Kelly and Alan Kelly, which you're talking in that case about what the insinuation about Noel Kelly
but like,
selling crunchies.
You know, and all he wants to do at the end of the day is go back and do his job. Yeah. I think that's amazing, Joe. And, you know, there's a reason why people are more highly paid than others, because, like, you know, even watching him today, it's absolute talent, you know. Like, there's only very few people that can do that job. And, you know, you do it very well. And, you know, we all, I think, you know, that he should come back to work as soon as possible. Okay. But, like, he was there today, you know, to try and give his side of the story. Okay.
And he's starting again. It's now 4:05 past three. He's about to go in again, himself and Noel Kelly, before another committee of 12 TDs. Margaret Goodamila, Margaret Harry, Bookless and Sound. Shane Galvin is our BCO and Annette Egan produce. Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.